Welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm here to help you achieve your fitness goals without pain. In each episode, I'll share tips and strategies that will help you stay safe and pain-free while you're working out. I'll also interview experts in the field of fitness and pain management. So if you're ready to learn how to stay active and pain-free, then subscribe to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast today. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. I've been thinking about this subject, and I don't know. It's been interesting, but I wanted to kind of talk about motivation and trying to find the core belief or the, you know, something snappy to, you know, go, oh, look, we have a message that comes from that. And instead, I just figured I'll go to my go-to, which is telling you a story. So, well, the first story was that I wrote this all out and then my iPad deleted it. So we're going to keep going. Anyway, one of the things that I realized is that I grew up in the 80s, and that was a very weird time for people. You know, there was just no sharing of feelings, talking about things. You know, we definitely didn't talk about personal things or addictions or whatever. You know, we always knew of the parent that drank too much or so-and-so's, you know, parent is smoking marijuana or doing whatever. But there was a lot of things that, you know, just kind of weren't really discussed. Everything was very hush-hush. And for the most part, that was fine, right? We were private people. So, you know, outwardly discussing these things seemed very intrusive. And so that's kind of how we lived our lives, is that we all had these secrets, and they weren't, you know, like earth-shattering secrets, but they were definitely things that, you know, you didn't want other people to know, or you were embarrassed or afraid to share. And, you know, when I look back and I think about the patterns of behavior that I have established now, they were definitely a result of my upbringing during this time. And because of that, you know, there's so much denial that was a part of my existence. You know, my brother and I used to tease when we'd say my mother and I lived on the island of denial, because she never remembered being bad to us or, you know, yelling at us or doing whatever. She'd always say, I never did such a thing. But denial was definitely like the default setting for everybody, right? It's like, oh, that's not really happening. You know, now you would call it gaslighting. And gaslighting was just how we existed. And it just doesn't, it's not sustainable for anybody or anything. So as I was kind of thinking about, you know, motivation and exercise motivation and all those kinds of areas, I started thinking about like what I do as a fitness trainer. And for the most part, you know, I deal with all kinds of people. You know, I would have to say that most of my clientele are women, just because I'm a female. So I think women feel safer working out with another female. But I'm getting people with varying types of motivation. And I try for the most part to make sure, you know, as I filter through and have conversations and do consultations, that I find people that are semi-aligned with what I'm saying or what I believe. Because the people that I never filtered out or just decided that they liked me and then showed up and wanted something different, it never worked out. And, you know, that's always the telltale, right? Is that when you think that you want something or you have a hidden agenda as a client, like this person's going to make me do X, or they're going to scream and yell at me because I want them to be like Jillian from The Biggest Loser or whatever that may be. Those, like, that's not going to happen if you come and see me. That's not who I am. That's not my motivation. That's not how I want to treat people. I kind of have the golden rule, you know, tucked in my brain, which is I'm not going to treat you any differently than how I'd want to be treated. You know, respect is definitely the name of the game. But most of the people that I deal with are my age. And so that kind of brings up that interesting part of, like, we were all raised in the 70s and the 80s. And that sharing of feelings or being emotionally honest is not something that's natural for us. And, you know, being honest sometimes is not natural for me, just because, you know, I don't want to be judged or embarrassed or whatever it may be. So, you know, I totally get it. And it, you know, feels like a massive confession to actually acknowledge that I'm sad or angry or whatever. Because of course that vulnerability always equals weakness in my mind. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that motivation can be a fleeting thing. It's not something that's constant. It's, you know, it ebbs and flows and we have to kind of go with it. I think that the fitness industry has sold us a bill of goods in terms of saying, like, you know, once you get motivated, you know, you get over that 30-day mark, you're going to be motivated for the rest of your life, which is crap, right? Because, you know, things come up. Kids get sick, you get sick, you know, people lose jobs, people change jobs. You know, there are all different things that will interfere with your level of motivation or the ability to stay motivated. For me, I have always been semi-motivated. If I'm interested in a thing, then I do whatever it takes to do the thing. You know, back a long time ago when my daughter wasn't even born, I played golf. And I played golf all the time, and I did all the things that needed to play golf, and I practiced and, you know, whatever. And at best, I'm an average golf player, right? It wasn't something that I did, you know, great. And part of it was the lack of, you know, eventually lack of motivation where I was like, eh. Plus the expense didn't help. But one of the things that I've noticed lately, and it could be because I am a woman of a certain age, is that my motivation is waning. The ebbs and flows seem more like they're just not there. and I'm having a hard time with it. And usually, you know, I'll hear something, I'll do whatever, I'll have a motivational challenge, you know, those kinds of things will go on, or exercise challenge that I want to do with my clients. So we'll do, you know, push-ups every day or, you know, squats every day or wall sits or whatever it may be. And I'm all about it and doing whatever. And I am not feeling like doing jack. And, you know, all summer I've been listening to podcasts and I've been trying to get motivated. And, you know, right now the trend is, you know, zone 2 training, and it's coming across everywhere. So, like, I listened to Peter Attia and he's talking about, you know, health and fitness and how, you know, zone 2 is where you need to be for optimal fitness, and, you know, the Huberman Lab, and he's talking about zone 2. And then, you know, there's a couple of females that are talking about menopause and saying, like, hey, if you want to get rid of that belly fat, you need to be in zone 2. You know, so there's all these theories on how zone 2 is where you need to be for optimal fitness and doing all this stuff. And so I'm like, oh, that's it. Right. Okay. There's my challenge for the summer. Ding, ding, ding. You know, I'm all in. I'm going to do this. You know, perimenopause, menopause, whatever I'm in right now, this flux state has literally kicked my ass. You know, I'm so freaking tired. And, you know, I have reminders on my phone for everything because my hormones are all over the place, which messes up my brain. It kind of reminds me like when I was pregnant where I had to put a reminder on my phone for everything. I literally had to put a reminder on my phone to remind me to record this podcast. Like, that's how bad my memory is. And I just essentially can't remember shit unless I write it down. So, you know, anyway, I think you get the point. And so I've decided that I'm going to do the zone 2 thing, right? So, you know, I'm like, all right, I have like 9 or 10 weeks of summer to get this done because I'm a teacher. So I am off during the summer, which is unpaid. Just a reminder for people. It's not like I'm laying out in the sun every day. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to do this zone 2 thing. You know, I'm going to, I can get it handled. You know, I'm not terribly thrilled with myself right now because, you know, I'm a little bigger than I'd like to be. Definitely sweatier than I'd like to be. So I was like, this is going to be my thing. And so All right, here we go. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to ride my bike. I'm going to make sure I walk, and I'm going to be in zone two, right? This is what I'm going to do. 30 minutes, three times a week. You know, I can do this, right? And I'm toward the end of my summer, and I'm getting ready to go back to school, and I've literally done it twice. And I'm like, what the hell is my problem? I've had 9 weeks to get my shit together and to do this and to actually say, like, does this work? Is it, burning the belly fat that I have that I don't want anymore? Hormones are a funky thing. That's a whole different subject. Anyway, but it's like, okay, I'm reflecting back and going, I didn't do shit. Like, I worked out, right? Because I love weightlifting, right? That's my happy place. I mean, I started off as a bodybuilder, you know, and that's where I really found my passion with weights and fitness, was just that idea of seeing how much I can lift and how my body shapes up from doing it, just everything that's associated with it. And I could not pull off the zone two thing. And so I'm, you know, sitting here and I was like, all right, well, what do I do? You know, because I, of course, you go down the spiral of shame, right? Which is like, you had all the time. You could have totally done it. You could have done it with the dog, because we have a puppy. So that kind of interferes with, you know, being able to leave. And so you have to do things like stay at home and make sure that they're not eating things and causing distress or peeing places or doing whatever. And so all these excuses were coming up, and finally I was like, okay, I got to journal this, right? This is some stuff that's kind of messing with me, and I need to figure out, like, what is going on, because one, I've never had an issue. Now, obviously the default is I can go back and say, hey, look, it's my perimenopausal brain, and, you know, this is where we are. But after I journaled, I realized why I didn't meet the goal. And you know why? Because I didn't want to. I just didn't want to do it. And, you know, there's some historical knowledge on that. Aside from that, I just, you know, like, my give a shit is broke, like, right now. Like, I don't care. You know, it's like, I don't really want to go out there and sweat. I don't want to do those things. And, you know, as I was journaling, you know, I kind of remembered that, you know, I've been an athlete since I was, I don't know, 7 years old, 6, 7 years old. And as a basketball player, softball player, you know, all these different sports, cardio has always been used as a punishment. And that is ridiculous, but it's true. It's, you know, that's always been the punishment, right? You're late to practice, run a lap or run 5 laps or run, you know, what it was the best, right? Run a lap for every minute you're late. It's like, oh crap. You know, so you had to run. You mess up a play. Okay, everybody drop everything and take a lap. You know, whatever it is, take a lap or do sprints or suicides or, you know, which I wonder if they've changed that, because I can't imagine that that's correct terminology to use anymore in basketball, running, any of those things. Anyway, so it's always been running. Then I joined the Army, and guess what? Everything is running. Running and push-ups, right? Nobody ever said, drop and give me 25, you know, sit-ups, right? It was always push-ups, or they're like, bye, and you would have to go run. And, you know, so I got that there's some work that needs to be done psychologically for me around my aversion to cardio, which it keeps getting deeper and deeper. But I'm also at this point where I don't like the physical sensation, right? Like, it does not give me comfort to feel my heart rate raise to an uncomfortable level. I don't like the way my body feels, you know, when I'm running or when I'm doing whatever the hell I'm doing, right? It's like, you know, things start getting, I don't know, just activated in your body. And some people find joy in that. And right now it's like, I'm so not happy with so many of the bodily sensations that are happening, and adding this stuff on top of it just makes it worse. So, you know, I'm going to go and I'll work on my stuff, in terms of my cardio aversion. And, you know, we'll take care of that. But so, you know, getting back to the point, what are some takeaways about motivation? Is, you know, understand that if you choose something that is not aligned with who you are, it's not going to work, right? Is that whatever goal it may be, whether it's a career goal or a fitness goal or whatever, if it's not aligned with who you are, you are going to find every excuse under the sun to not do it. You know, oh, I have a cramp in my toe. Oh, you know, I missed a train. I, you know, whatever it may be, right? You're going to find a way to not do it and at least not do it regularly. So you have to make sure that whatever goal you're choosing it because it is aligned with who you are. So if you're a dancer and that's what you enjoy doing, then your fitness goal should probably be around dancing, right? Because that's something that you're going to wake up and go, oh, I really want to do this because I love the music or I love the way my body feels when I'm doing this or when I, you know, was able to figure out this trick or whatever it is with dancing, right? If you are somebody who likes to lift weights, then, you know, I can probably guarantee you if I look back and I said, I'm going to bench X amount of pounds by the end of the summer, I probably would have reached that goal. Or at least I would have tried it a lot more. And, you know, again, that's just something that I learned from reflecting that. And it's okay to do stuff that are, I guess the, what I'm trying to say is it's okay to do stuff sometimes and not all the time. And what I mean that by that is that, you know, unfortunately, as Americans, we're obsessed with being busy. Right. And I am like, I am not judging anybody on this because I do this myself. And whether it's work, whether it's research, whether whatever it is, I have to be busy. I can't just, I think I, you know, probably just burn into flames if I just sat somewhere and didn't move. And again, that's something that I'm going to work on. And, you know, that's why I meditate before going to bed because that's the final, you know, moment where I can actually lay and be still as opposed to, you know, like, I don't think I can meditate in the morning. Like the idea of, because there's way too many things bouncing around in my head and the idea of getting up and sitting still would probably, I don't know, it probably wouldn't allow me to feel success. How's that? But you don't have to be busy. And if you're listening to your body and your body's saying, I'm not motivated, then go with it. And I know that sounds counterintuitive because, you know, you should be motivated and you got to create, you know, patterns and habits and all that kind of stuff. But there's times in your life where you're just not going to be feeling it. And maybe that's when you discover something different. Maybe that's when, you know, you decide that you want to read. You know, you weren't a person that read a lot, or maybe you always wanted to read, but you never had the opportunity to read. And now you're making space for that or walk. Or whatever it may be. But if you have something and it's aligned with who you are, you're probably going to be able to do it and you're going to find the time for it and you're not going to be making excuses to not do it. And that's the biggest thing to kind of remember is that you want to make sure that whatever you do in your life, it is in like, I don't know if I'm using the term right, but in coherence with what who you are. And how you want to be. So I guess the takeaway from this is that, you know, motivation can be fleeting and that's okay. Because if you're somebody like me who's semi-motivated, you'll eventually come back to it or you'll realize that your goals weren't what they should have been. And the good thing is that I have time to make adjustments. And that sometimes it's okay not to feel motivated and you don't have to beat yourself up about it. And grant, you know, you are going to find the time. There's going to be a time that something is going to happen and your why is going to be stronger than, you know, the lack of motivation. So eventually you're going to go to it. And, you know, for me, losing weight, staying in zone two, right? Because that was the real reason for staying in zone two, right? The fitness level, I don't know. There's nothing that could be matched by that. Nobody knows, right, what my fitness level is or what it needs to be. But it was the visual aspect of it, right? Losing the belly fat, because then I can go, oh, look, I've been doing this hard work and this is what it turned out to be. But the reality is that I didn't really give a crap, right? It's not my thing. And I also know deep down inside that losing that belly fat isn't going to change what's going on in my head. And I need to work on what's going on in my head. So what I'm telling you is find something that makes you happy, that feeds your soul, whatever it is, and go from there, because that's all you got going for you, right? You are your own motivation. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate and review, and I'll talk to you soon.